Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to the Inside Lacrosse Division 3 Podcast. I'm Zach Babbo. Today we're talking with Dickinson head coach Dave Webster. Dickinson started the season ranked number 8 in Faceoff Yearbook and picked to win the Centennial. They currently sit at number 4 nationally in the USILA Division 3 coaches poll after going 4-0 to start the season, including a 12-6 victory over Cabrini. Webster was an 88 grad of Dickinson and returned to his alma mater in 2001 after starting the program at Marymount and helping raise the profile of Franklin and Marshall. We talked to Webster about his team's early season success, their upcoming game against Roanoke, and a little bit about the culture he's trying to build out in central Pennsylvania. We're here with Dickinson coach Dave Webster. Dave, thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely, thanks.
Coach, you guys have started the year pretty impressively. You have 4 straight wins. Here at Inside Lacrosse, we ranked you number 8 overall in our face-off yearbook for Division 3. And you guys are, I believe, number 4 in the poll, in the USILA poll this week. What do you kind of thought about, you know, the fast start you guys are able to get off to here this year?
Well, I think we learned a lot last year when in your preseason rankings we were number 2. And we're very uncomfortable with that. The team did not handle that real well early. And I think we've learned, what the priorities in terms of our focus and what it's all about, so that those rankings, mean less to us, and we're able to not be pressured by any of that. So I'd like the progress we're making now. We've had a good positive start. I don't know that we've put a complete game together yet, but we're learning and making good progress.
Your offense kind of jumps out off the page in these early games. You guys have put up some pretty big numbers here. You're averaging 15 goals a game. You guys are taking about 45 shots a game. Is that kind of an evolution? I mean, of some people on the offensive end, you guys have a pretty talented offensive end down there. Is it maybe it embracing some of the new rules, or just kind of this is the pace you guys were hoping to play at anyway?
Yeah, great question, and it's certainly the pace that we've tried to play the last 3 or 4 years. We've made a commitment to playing faster, and we hope to get 45 shots a game. And are right on track with that, and we've done that pretty successfully the last few years. The rule changes haven't really we've made no adjustments really in terms of our game to the rule changes. It suits our style pretty well, we think. I think we're actually stronger at the defensive end, and that's been our real core. And it's nice to see the offense coming along early on like this. We've had a lot of different guys score each game. It's a different one or two guys who've done the majority of the scoring, so we're pretty balanced and certainly like to see that. I think in the past we've been a little more dependent on maybe 2 or 3 guys, and it's spread out a little bit more this year. So, yeah, we are evolving as an offensive team and certainly like the progress, but still learning quite a bit there, and despite averaging 15 goals a game, we're just starting to kind of figure it out, I think.
That's kind of almost sounds like a scary prospect of 15 goals a game. Can we talk a little about some of those guys on that offensive end? I mean, we in the face-off yearbook, we looked at guys like Brian Cannon, Matt Cherry, Christian Beadle. As guys for preseason conference recognition, preseason All-American recognition, they're guys that have put up some pretty good numbers for you in the past. Is some of the kind of balance on offense a maturation of those guys? Is it maybe more other guys than those names kind of stepping up into that role?
Yeah, those three certainly are the more experienced leaders at the offensive end and are being very productive and strong leaders at practice and in terms of our preparation. But we've had a lot of other guys who are maturing and developing. A couple freshmen, Rob Kendall and Chris Menard, have been very productive. One of Rob's a starting attackman, and Chris plays on our first line. A couple sophomore middies, Tyler White and Brett Parker, have come along and are being very productive. Nick Leon, who's a senior midfielder, who has played a lot of quality minutes for us and finished very strongly last year, just had 5 goals in our last game with Montclair. So we're spreading it around and have some depth there. And like I said, each game, a different guy's kind of stepping up, and that's always fun to see.
And now you mentioned that, you know, you almost think maybe the defensive end may be coalescing a little bit better this, you know, early going here. You guys also obviously have, you know, some big names down on that end. You know, Greg Hanley, Peter Zuck, and Brandon Palladino is considered potentially, you know, the best LSM in the country, if not within that conversation.
Right.
What kind of, you know, what do those guys maybe kind of bring to the table there?
Well, I think what we're beginning to figure out is how to play together, that strong returning group on defense, and now we're supporting their efforts with better production at the offensive end. Instead of kind of a defensive group or an offensive group, we're trying to figure out how to play together and play off each other's strengths. So it's nice to see that coming along, that the returners are on defense bring a lot of experience and a lot of they've all played in a lot of big games at that end of the field and are doing a really strong, consistent job right now. And I think it certainly makes our offensive guys more confident and comfortable playing fast and getting those shots when they have the confidence in our defensive guys at the other end to back them up. So that teamwork aspect is really important, and we're certainly seeing that emerge now.
Would you characterize the style of defense you guys play as anything in particular? Is it, you know, a straight kind of man-to-man, a quick sliding, an aggressive defense, a more kind of, you know, sit back and let the other team try and crack you approach?
Yeah, I think we're pretty basic and pretty simple up and down the field. I certainly think I've gotten smarter the more I coach, and we try to keep it simple for all of our players. And play to our guys' strengths, which I think at the defensive end, we like to play some pressure. We like to get out on people's hands with our long sticks and let those guys go after the ball a little bit. So I think that the four long sticks that we'll have at our end of the field are all pretty talented and experienced and athletic, and we certainly want to let those guys play. So it's basic man-to-man and with some pressure on the ball.
You know, part of, I guess, the team being successful and ready to roll here early in the season is that preseason preparation kind of stuff. It's kind of interesting to me, you talk about, you know, last year you guys maybe were a little more hyped coming into the year. You don't necessarily think the team handled that well.
Right.
What was this year's preseason preparation like? And maybe, you know, you hinted at it before and kind of addressing prospects for the year, you know, and handling your business, things like that.
Yeah, our senior class, we have 12 seniors, and they've had a profound impact on our program since they arrived. And we sat down at the end of last season. We lost a second round NCAA tournament game and sat down with those guys before they left for the summer and addressed kind of expectations and goals. And these guys certainly felt like last year ended too early. And wanted to do more this year, and those seniors have gone about setting those expectations and leading by example through the fall, winter, and certainly preseason in terms of their work ethic, their attitude, and certainly just how we communicate with each other about what we're doing on and off the field. So I think there's some more poise. I think there's better focus, and we're excited to be. To be learning and making progress, and we feel that every day at practice, like we're figuring some things out and getting better. And there's a lot of enthusiasm at practice, and there's good depth on our team, so it's competitive. And the preseason was productive. I will say that when we started last year, the first game, I think we all felt that last year we were further along at that point than we were this year. I think we graduated 12 seniors last year, and there's a pretty big turnover, a big learning curve. So we weren't as able to get as much in this preseason as we did last year. But I do like the work ethic and the progress we're making, and excited about what we can continue to do with this team.
how would you maybe almost describe the preseason at Dickinson? I mean, you guys are up there in kind of central Pennsylvania. That can sometimes get pretty tough weather for the middle of the year, for the early winter. And D3 generally can kind of be a different animal than other levels in terms of the potential facilities, the academic demands, or conference rules for a team.
Sure.
What is your kind of preseason, procedure?
Well, we in our conference, Centennial Conference, we have a February 1 start date, which puts us several weeks behind many of our competitors. I like the February 1 start date. We then can't have our first competition till I believe it was February 16th maybe this year. And those dates are good with me. I don't think we need to be out there a month and a half before the competition. We do want to make sure our student athletes have the right start to their semester academically, make that a priority. Then we kind of ease into lacrosse on February 1. We are blessed with some very good facilities here at Dickinson, and the winter was awfully cold but very mild. In fact, today is the first day we've had to plow our field, and that's how we judge the winter, how many times we have to plow. This is a one plow winter, and I hope this is it. But we've been able to get outside since February 1, again very cold, but we've been productive, making good progress. There are lots of distractions at a school like Dickinson, where the young men are here for the right reasons, and school is certainly a priority, and getting internships for the summer and jobs for next year. All those things are it's a very busy time for all that right now, and we certainly support and promote that and take a very active role as coaches in that process with our young men. So lots going on, but we've become better at having our guys, when it's practice time, they come down at 4:30, 5 o'clock, whenever we start, and for those next 2 hours, they're pretty focused on lacrosse and really enjoying that process.
So in looking at your early season wins here, one of the ones that really jumped off the page to me was your victory over Cabrini. It was a pretty dominant effort in a 12-6 score. Cabrini is also another, nationally ranked team right now. They're a fellow strong program in the South. They're a fellow strong program in Pennsylvania. Was that game kind of a nice measuring stick for you guys? And generally, has that kind of bred into a rivalry for you guys, being that you're relatively close and you both have growing to be more and more successful programs?
Good question. We played them years ago when I first started at Dickinson, when both programs were just beginning to develop, and it didn't mean as much on the national level as it does now. So it's great to see both programs have come a long way in a short period of time. We picked that game back up last year for the first time. We beat them by one early in the season last year in a last second goal, and then they beat us in the second round of the tournament pretty handily last year. So yeah, I don't know if it's a rivalry yet, but it certainly has become a well-played game. I think they're awfully well coached and talented. We certainly respect them. I think our game last week was closer than the score indicates. We had it was a 3-2 halftime game, and we had a strong second half. They had to press some things at the end, which gave us some more opportunities. But we all know there's a chance we could see them again in the tournament, and certainly we'll continue to prepare and respect that opponent.
Speaking of another potential tournament team you might see, you guys host Roanoke this weekend. What are you kind of preparing for in that matchup and in seeing a team like Roanoke come in, who's typically known as playing a slightly similar, up and down, high scoring kind of pace?
Well, we have great respect for Roanoke and that tradition, and that's one of the top teams in Division III with their tradition. One of my assistant coaches now, Pat March, was a great player for Roanoke, and that says a lot about our respect for Roanoke if we're going to hire one of their assistants. So he's brought a lot to our program and certainly was coached well and learned a lot there. This has become a tremendous rivalry and one of the top games every year in D3. I think, you know, there were four of the five previous games were a one-point win either way, and it kind of went back and forth there for a while. We got up on them early last year and won down there. Certainly expect them to be excited to play and ready to go, and you have to play a complete game to be successful with Roanoke. They have a very distinct style and are very good at what they do, and we have to be well prepared and fit and play a full game.
Not long after that Roanoke game, you guys get into more or less the heart of your centennial schedule this year. What are your kind of thoughts on the way that league breaks out and maybe where you guys are placed? I mean, we've picked you guys as a likely, you know, winner of the league, but it's a pretty deep competitive league throughout.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a grind. It's every game is a challenge. We lost two games in conference last year, both in overtime, to Washington College and to F&M. So every game's a battle. We don't take anybody lightly. You have to prepare and battle each game. We all know each other pretty well by that time. A lot of film. There's not much that you're hiding. So it's really preparation. And then again, playing complete games in all those conference games. All the conference teams, I think, are well coached. They all have good players. They're good schools, so they attract quality student athletes. I think top to bottom, best conference in Division III. Travel's pretty minimal for all of us, so it's nice kind of being relatively close to each other. Really strong competition.
You mentioned the kind of geographic proximity of the league, and you know generally you guys are kind of one of a couple of programs that are really kind of, I guess, kind of showcasing the strength of lacrosse in the state of Pennsylvania. Now, I mean, you've been at Dickinson since 2001. You were a player there about 10 years before that. You know, what have you kind of seen of that evolution of the game in the state of Pennsylvania generally? And has it kind of become one of those things where a rising tide floats all boats? And as the game is growing in the high school level and some of the traditional programs are getting better and some other ones are kind of picking up steam, I mean, is that kind of a collective awareness or success shared by a lot of people now?
Yeah, I think so. I think the success of our conference, and we've had very strong teams in this conference for years, so that's not something new. I think Dickinson's evolution is relatively new, and it's nice to be in that company of those other strong teams. But I think in the Centennial Conference itself attracts, good players. When players are looking for top liberal arts colleges and want that balance between school and lacrosse, then the Centennial is a great fit. And several of those traditional strong teams are in Pennsylvania. And you mentioned Cabrini, who's not in our conference, but also in Pennsylvania. And so, yeah, the high school level has exploded with lacrosse. We're all reaping the benefits of that. There's a lot of good players. Not all of them can go Division I. A lot of them are looking for this type of experience, Division III, and we're all finding a lot of good players.
You talk about kind of the I guess evolution of Dickinson. I mean, you've been at the school now for over a decade. What have you kind of seen as that evolution of Dickinson, and what maybe kind of perspective do you have on it? Considering that you were a player there, you were away from the school for about 10, 15 years, and then, came back and got to put your own stamp on it.
Right. It's been really fun, rewarding as an alum to help build this program. We've been playing lacrosse at Dickinson since 1952. The 1958 team was crowned national championships. At that point, there was a Division A, B, and C, and the sports writers in Baltimore picked a champion for each league, and they picked Dickinson in 1958 for Division C, the small schools. But since then, there hasn't been great success. I say that as a player here. I think we all worked hard and did our best, but there wasn't a huge commitment towards lacrosse. I'm the first lacrosse coach at Dickinson who was hired to be a full-time lacrosse coach. Prior to that, it was a football coach who, as a secondary job, would coach lacrosse. Lacrosse is a great fit at a school like Dickinson. Our administration recognized that a little over a decade ago, and I was fortunate enough to be have that opportunity to come in when there was a renewed commitment to it. So it's been great. I've been able to recruit some great young men and families who wanted to be part of this tradition and building this tradition. And we've certainly in the last few years have started to see some success from all that hard work and from the 50 plus years of guys who made a commitment to Dickinson and to the lacrosse. And it's been a lot of fun.
What was that like, you know, when the opportunity to come back to your alma mater and take over the program, you know, came up? I mean, it seems a lot of coaches generally seem to like the idea of gravitating to where they came from. You know, was this kind of your ultimate goal to hopefully be back and running the ship at Dickinson? And in some ways, taking over your alma mater, is that a more comfortable position because you're familiar with the school? Or is there maybe a little bit more pressure because, you know, you have a certain pride in wanting the school to do well above and beyond just your success as a coach?
Yeah, good. Great question. And, you know, I can recall as a senior here, as my senior season was winding down and frustrated about the way that the 4 years had gone, and knew at that point that I wanted to teach and coach and had just secured a job at a prep school following graduation to do just that. But I thought then as a senior that it might be fun at some point to have that opportunity to come back and help turn around this program. And it didn't happen until about 12 years after I graduated that I got the opportunity, but I certainly was excited. And when I took this job, it was to be honest, one of the worst programs in Division III. And so it was a risk coming back. I was at that point the head coach at Franklin and Marshall, and we had built a pretty good program there, and so it was a risk involved with it. But I felt strongly enough about the commitment from our administration to doing this the right way, and certainly felt strong enough about my alma mater that I was willing to take that risk and knew that it wasn't going to be a quick fix, but had the confidence in my ability to have an impact on this program and see it through. It's been really rewarding to do that here and to connect with many of the alums who I played with and otherwise who are excited about how our program is doing and want to be involved with that. So it certainly has been fun, and I think the school continues to support us the right way and again allows us to recruit great young men and families who want this type of experience.
You know, you mentioned being at Franklin Marshall before coming to Dickinson. You helped build that program up there. You created effectively the program at Marymount before that. What have those experiences, what have you been able to take from those experiences maybe that have helped kind of build what you want at Dickinson or just learn maybe what you don't want? You know, I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot I guess you probably soak up building a program from scratch particularly.
Yeah, no doubt. And at both schools, I had the opportunity to work with some great, other coaches in those athletic departments that I always learn a lot from, and some great young men and families on both those programs who I remain in close touch with, and that's awfully fun. I think I've learned over the years, as I mentioned earlier, to keep things simple. I think you create a style of play, and you commit to that style, and you recruit young men who can buy into and commit to that style as well, and you have to make a commitment to fitness year-round, and then you allow your young men to play, and I've gotten better at that. I've simplified things. I continue to learn and I think improve as a coach. I hope I am. But those are some of the takeaways from those places. I think the successful coaches are those that make it about the young men they work with. You can't have kind of your own agenda. It has to be about the team and about the school and the mission of that group.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple times the idea of getting guys who want to come to your program for the right reasons and things like that. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed about the program in kind of looking up some stuff was the amount of importance you seem to give to service projects, to that kind of, you know, community interaction. How central is that maybe to what you're trying to do at Dickinson, and what dividends does that play in terms of maybe, you know, building a team, or have you even seen it pay dividends in the field in terms of guys having different attitudes or coming together about certain things or something like that?
Right, I'm glad you asked that. I'm a big believer in helping these young men gain some perspective, and I think there's no better way to gain perspective than to put them into an uncomfortable setting, which is unique and different from what they normally experience, and have to accomplish some task collectively in that environment. Now, that could be, you know, New Orleans post Katrina, on a Native American reservation in New Mexico, Habitat for Humanity in West Virginia, inner city Baltimore. Those are a couple of the projects we've done, and all of our young men and myself and coaches have gained so much from those experiences. We learn a lot. We get a chance to work and do some different things with some very interesting, good people. And in terms of team bonding, you can't replicate, I don't think, in any other way, what we gain from that week being together in that setting, you know, 24 hours together. And we make it uncomfortable, and we make it, you know, very kind of Spartan conditions where we stay when we're on those service trips. But awesome memories. The guys, when they graduate, each class will have two of those experiences, and those are some of their best memories.
So I guess, you know, along those lines, if we're talking about, you know, the type of players you want to bring in, the type of principles you want to instill in them, I don't know, is it easier to say what the type of kid is who would be an ideal prospect for Dickinson, or maybe to flip it the other way and say, you know, hypothetically imagine I'm a recruit who may be interested in Dickinson. How would maybe you pitch me the Dickinson experience for my 4 years?
Good question, Zach. Very good. Yeah, first of all, it starts with young man has to be committed to he's going to be in an environment here at Dickinson where he's going to be really challenged academically and we believe athletically. So they have to be up for that challenge. This is not a place where you come to hang out and play lacrosse. You come here to excel as a student athlete and to be challenged and pushed by professors and your coaches and teammates. So that's kind of a starting point for all our conversations with recruits. And then beyond that, some of the things that distinguish us from some of our peers and rivals is that commitment to service, is that commitment to those experiences off the field. And then in terms of just a style of play, again, we want guys who are fit and in shape and who are willing to work hard to achieve some success and have a lot of fun with it. We don't take fun out of the equation. I think, unfortunately, too often that's something that's compromised with college athletics, and we certainly believe it's a big part of the equation.
And, Coach, I guess I'll kind of wrap up with a little bit of a current event, almost, you could say. I know that, you know, we talked earlier about the shot and the goal totals you guys have put up, about playing a little fast. You know, a little bit about how maybe the new rules have influenced that. I know that you've served on the rules committee before. I'm kind of curious what your thought is on some of the new rules, especially the ones that affected pace, and maybe even from being a member of that committee before, your thoughts on how the rules committee kind of weighed everything and came out with what they came out with as the summer's new rules were kind of announced.
Sure, I certainly have a lot of respect for anybody who serves on the rules committee, and too often those who have not served in that role, it's tough to be an outsider and to pass judgment on that role and that responsibility. And I certainly respect what this current group has done. I think I've thought since the beginning that it's going to take perhaps, you know, the first third of the season, the first five, six games for everyone really to figure out how things are being called and really how to play. And I think we're seeing that a little bit. I guess my only concern would be that I don't want to have our officials to have too many things to think about and consider, and we're going to see how, you know, one crew would judge something in one way and another group of officials judge it in another way. I certainly do believe in keeping it simple for the officials as well, and I think we're trying to do that. But I think that's important moving forward that we keep that in mind. I like the pace of the play. Again, we have tried to play faster the last few years, and the new rules are not a big adjustment for us. But I do, you know, occasionally get to see a couple of Division I games on TV, and I thought that the pace has been improved at that level. I don't think pace of play has been an issue for Division III. I think in general that the better teams in Division III play and let their players go up and down and make some mistakes, but have a pretty fun way of playing. So I don't think those changes were as necessary at this level as maybe for Division I. I guess my final thing would be I hope that we don't allow TV to dictate what the rules might be. And I'm not suggesting that was done, but I hope that we, if there are adjustments, that we do it for our players and for the game and not for TV.
I guess maybe the secret is to get more D3 on TV and people can see
there you
faster products. So.
That's right.
All right, well, Coach, thank you very much for giving me some time here today to talk, and best of luck as you guys, you know, face Roanoke this coming weekend, and hopefully we'll be talking about Dickinson again when the playoff picture comes to fore here come May.
Thanks for the opportunity, Zach, and continue your great work, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Coach. Take care.
Take care.